Can we turn, please, to Nehemiah chapter 7? And, of course, the bulk of chapter 7 is a very, very long list of names, which will be a challenge to anyone, given that as a Bible reading, which is why we closed down at verse 7 when we did. But it's interesting going, well, I've read through that list, and it's very interesting, and they're all there in a purpose, which we'll think about in a moment. Some of these names may be a bit difficult to pronounce. Others are a bit easier. But as I say, they're all there for a specific purpose and a specific reason. Now, would you not agree with me? Every good thing comes from the Lord. Every good thing comes from the Lord. Indeed, all good things have their beginning with the Lord. It tells us there in chapter 7, there in verse 5. Then my God, this is Nehemiah, of course, speaking. Then my God put it into my heart, i.e. Nehemiah's heart, to gather the nobles, the rulers, the people that might be registered by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return and found written in it. This all comes from the Lord. This is not Nehemiah's idea. He didn't dream it up and thought, well, what can we do today? I know, we'll have a census. This all comes from the Lord. And so he puts the thought, the idea, and of course Nehemiah, being the man that he is, a godly man, an obedient man, puts it into operation. But it's interesting, my God put it into my heart. You see, what he's saying is, if there's any good in my heart, it's only because the Lord has put it there. So true for us as well. The only reason we are here this morning is because the Lord has brought us here. The Lord has moved in our hearts. The Lord has enabled us. And he then, the Lord, of course, moves Nehemiah to make this long list of names. Indeed, a proposal to take a census. And what follows relates to the period in the time of Zerubbabel. And basically what he's asking for, what Nehemiah here is asking for, is an account of the present state of Jerusalem, and then that will be reviewed or checked or whatever it is with the older register. Therefore, comparisons can be made with the present state of people in that list. A list of those that came up with Zerubbabel and Joshua after the decree of Cyrus in 538 BC. And basically what it's a reminder of, remember the walls have been completed. That task has been done. But what there's a need for is strong, committed people. And they are much more effective in every way than having strengthened the walls. And what a need there is today. Did you read the Christian Institute news on Friday? Archbishop Welby, or actually, I say, he got it all wrong on his view of sexual ethics. And that's the ex-archbishop of the Church of England. What we've got coming next, goodness knows. No wonder that place is in such a mess. So easy though to go, isn't it? We won't push this one. We don't major on that. We welcome everyone. Of course we do. The gospel is for everyone. But it's inclusive as well as exclusive. There are in this list names and numbers of families. Many in service in the temple. You see, it's a reminder that the Lord notices not only individuals, but families in their service to Him. We pray, do we not, regularly for each other? And we may pray for each other's children and grandchildren, particularly those perhaps that are unsaved, that the Lord would graciously save them. But isn't it comforting to know that the Lord knows more about our families than we do? He is intimately knowledge of all of them. And what an encouragement it is, even from this chapter, to know that God is concerned about families. When I say families, I'm talking about proper families. Mum and dad and children. Not some dreamed up scheme from a social services or whatever. But true families. And the thing is as well, if you know all these names here, and then going through, right through to verse, what are we, 60 some odd. God knows each and every one. He knows those that are His and perhaps those that are not. And He knows them by name. Now, we believe, of course, that Nehemiah wrote this, but did he sort of just pick up a pen and think, Joe Blocks, Bill Smith, so-and-so? No. The Holy Spirit guided Nehemiah to write this. So the next time you come across this chapter, or the ones at the beginning of Chronicles, don't be tempted to turn on to the next chapter or two. One advantage of doing Bible notes through the year is you have to do all these. And there is a wealth in there, if we would only but look for it. And if the Lord thinks it's important enough to put these people in Scripture, then surely that's important enough for us to read about them and learn what we can about them. So there, from 7 to 62, there is a long register of names. There are slight differences between the list and that of Ezra, but for the majority part, they are the same. So, we have here genealogy or census. But I want to really talk about, and later on, finally, another book whose names there are names in. The Lamb's Book of Life, of course. Now, many years ago, when Nikki and I had the privilege of serving with the LCM at Trinity Road Chapel in Tooting, one of our members was a lady called Phyllis Thompson. Some of you may have heard of her. She was a well-known author. She was a missionary in, where was it, China, wasn't it, and got kicked out by the communists in the early 50s, and came back to the UK, and she began to write. And she wrote books about the history of missions, different missions. And she did one on the London City Mission. And I think each of us at the time of the 150th anniversary were given a signed copy. But I remember speaking to her one day and talking about her literary career, her books, because they were very popular at the time. And she said, there's only one book I'm interested in. The Lamb's Book of Life. That's the only book that I want my name in. And she was very, very passionate about this. And she was very, very passionate about the gospel. Well, she was an ex-missionary, she would be. But what a wonderful thing it is to know, to have the privilege today of knowing that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not because we put them there, I hasten to add, but because the Lord did. Let me just read some verses, if I may, from chapter 20. Revelation, this is, of course, chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who could possibly be in a position to be cast in the lake of fire simply because your name is not found written in the Book of Life. And if there is doubt, then I urge you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek him and to believe him, to follow him. And he, if the calling is genuine, will put you there. And you'll have that certainty and security of all that's to come. Chapter 20, same book of course, verses 11 to 15. Chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. What a wonderful thing this is, eh? That's going to be our experience one day. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, gone. See, it won't be climate change that changes this earth. It won't be nuclear war. Be the Lord, destroying it by fire. But then we have the promise of a new heavens and a new earth. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Think of all the people milling around Helsham today, doing all sorts of things. But here we are. His people. God's people. And God will be with them because it says there, will be their God. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. And God will wipe away every tear. I'm looking forward to that. No more death, sorrow nor crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Well, may that be true for every one of us. I do apologise for a bit for a shorter sermon this morning, but I'm afraid I think that's all I can manage. But there's such important things here. Make sure all of us are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.